I build this as a somewhat controversial topic. I didn't necessarily mean that what we'll go through is controversial, but there are lots of controversies around the issues that we are going to speak about. So, well, what does that mean? So in this week's parsha, the pasuk says, Vayas Betzalel es Aaron. It says, Betzalel made Aaron. Did only Betzalel make the Aaron, or were other people involved also in making the Aaron and the various kelim? He had a whole team. He had a whole team of craftsmen and artisans that were assisting him. So why does it say Betzalel? Not only Betzalel. So the Medrash tells us, and we'll see it in Rashi at the beginning, Perish Rashi Sham, to the Fish Shenasan Betzalel Nafshol HaMelach, because Betzalel was Moshe Nefesh more than anyone else. Yoser Mishar Chachami Nikreis Al Shemo. He was so involved in the making of the kelim, and the constructing, the architecture, whatever it is, all of the design, because he was so heavily involved, even though he had other people working with him and underneath him, it's as if, and it's called upon his name. So that is our topic. When somebody is involved in making, paying for, organizing donations to a shul, be it the shul itself, the base medrash, donating a sefer Torah, donating the Aron Kodesh, does the person have a right to put his or her name in memory of parents, whatever it is, dedicated by, to put the name of on the item? Is that a positive thing? Is that a negative thing? And ultimately, we are going to wind up discussing what happens if, for example, somebody donated items to the shul and the shul is eventually redone. New donors come in. What happens to the person who originally donated the items? Does the shul have a right to change? Somebody gave the Ner Tamidim 30 years ago. The shul is being redone. Somebody else is donating the new Ner Tamid. What happens with the guy who donated the original funds to that Ner Tamid? So what's going to happen with that? So that is indeed our sugya. We have a direct connection to Vayas Betzalel, who did have his name effectively.
Didn't have a plaque associated.
And that's another thing. When we say, if we say yes, does it have to be on the item itself? Or some shuls don't have it on the item itself. They'll put it on a plaque. This donated by this person.
If it's on the Sefer Torah,
there's another reason. We're makbid to put on so we know whose Sefer Torah is whose. So there's another reason for Sefer Torah to...
If you put a name, it's to help stimulate other people to give.
Ah, okay. So let's start with the Gemara. There's a Gemara Mababasara, Kuflamet, Gimel Amad Beis, that says as follows. We're on the bottom right, paragraph, Tafmam Vav, three lines down. Second word where it says, Yosef ben Yoezer Hayalo Ben. Yosef ben Yoezer had a son, Shavaya Noah Kishura, and the son, nowadays we would call it, he's a bit off the path. He was a little bit off the derech. So he had a bunch of money. It says in the Gemara that he had a tikshel dinare zahav, he had a bag full of dinare zahav, gold coins. And he says, I'm not giving this to my kid. I want to put this to good purpose because he's not going to do something good with it. So he goes and he donates it to the Beis HaMikdash. His son gets married. And his son, after his wife gives birth, his son goes and buys her a fish. Got to feed her, make sure she's well taken care of. Inside the fish, he cuts open the fish and he finds a very expensive, it's like the story of Yosef Mokesh Shabbos in the Gomorrah Shabbos. Found a very expensive jewel inside the fish. Incredibly expensive. His wife tells him as follows, Isha Tova, go to the Beis HaMikdash. This is something, it's so beautiful. They're going to need this as for the Avnei HaEifod, for the stones, but for the Eifod. So this is something that, so he was going to sell it to the Beis HaMikdash, but let them have it. So he went to the Beis HaMikdash. He has a conversation with the Gizbarim, with the Gabayim of the Beis HaMikdash. I have this beautiful jewel. They valued it, and they valued it at 13 bags of golden coins. 13, tremendous amount of money. Huge. The Gizbar and the Gabayim and the Beis HaMikdash says, we don't have 13 bags of gold coins to pay you with. We've got 7. So we'd love to buy this. This is perfect for the eightfold. We don't have the money. So he says as follows, give me 7. The 6 that you don't have will be my donation to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says as follows, Amdu v'katfu. They got up, the Gizbar and the Gabayim got up. It's interesting, they didn't sit, they stood up. What a beautiful thing, he's donating. A tremendous donation, this has tremendous value, and he's donating to the Beis HaMikdash, the excess of the seven. They didn't have six gold bags of gold coins. And they got up, and it says, v'kasfu. And they wrote, Yosef ben Yoezer ichnis achas, the father, Yosef ben Yoezer donated one bag of gold coins, ubeno ichnis sheis, and his son donated six. Now, we may read this statement as pejorative towards the father. The Rashbam says that's not the case. It's actually very praiseworthy of the father. It was in the zchus of the father who gave one. Dedicating that, donating that to the Beis HaMikdash, rather than giving it to his son, in the zchus of that, the son was merited to give his own donation and to give six. So the Rashi says it's not. We may think it's not negative at all. It's a positive. It's a positive thing. Now, what the Rishonim focus on is the interesting Russian, the interesting language of this Gemara, Amdu v'kasfu. They got up. Lest the Amdu v'kasfu. What does it mean? It wrote. What did they write it? What are they writing? They wrote down that he donated six. What is going on here? So if we look, Taf Mem Zayin, second paragraph on the right side, V'haritvasham, B'sugyas HaGemara, Hevi B'shem Yesha, Omrim, Shekatvu Chem B'Pikas Cheshbonoseim. First number view is that they wrote it down in their Excel spreadsheet to keep track of the donations. Fine, they had a Pinkas, they had a pad of paper. They had it in an Excel on their spreadsheet, and they wrote it as a donation to keep track of all the donations that they make there. Second opinion, V'yeshomim says the Ritva Shayu Kosvim Sefer Mina Ekdeshos. The other opinion is that they would keep a book in memorializing those who gave dedications to the Beis HaMikdash, donations to the Beis HaMikdash. Kedei Sheyezecher LaMakdishim, in order so they would remember those who donate to the Beis HaMikdash. Ki Roi LaHaskir LaDoros, it is worthwhile to memorialize for future generations. Masim Tovim Sheosim Bnei Adam, the good deeds that people do for the future. What do we see here? Katfu, according to the second pasuk, is write it so it can be public, so people can see for future generations that somebody did a mitzvah. We want to publicize that.
But we only really publicize the monetary ones, right?
That's a question we have to see. But we see from Bezalel that he wasn't monetary. But we have to see what the line is, because Bezalel was Moser Nefesh. He worked with his body. How about if you're just a gabbai who collects the tzedakah? Or how about if you're just like the kablan who organizes things? We're going to have to get into those questions also. Okay, so there's a very, if I would say, the most seminal tshuva in this sugya is the Rashba. The Rashba, very prominent, one of the Rishonim, he wrote an extensive commentary in the Gemara. He also wrote responsa. So the Rashba, we're on Taf Mem Zayin, bottom left. He was asked as follows, Taf Mem Zayin, B'shut HaRashba Nishal, so there's a Reuven, a proverbial Reuven. He has a house that's right next to the shul. They're outgrowing the shul. Ubana also binyanaya. He makes a beautiful, with the property that he owns, builds a beautiful binyan, a beautiful building. So what he wanted to do was attach the building that he built next door to the shul, attach it to the original shul. The original shul was too small. Attach it to and make it one larger shul. This is interesting. Some people in the tzibur said, no, we don't want you to do that. Why? Because once you build a larger shul, the seat that I'm going to get is less desirable. Huh. So I don't want you to combine the shuls. I don't know if we ever had a share on this. I once looked into the sugya of what happens if you expand a shul and you used to have an aisle seat, and now they added on to it. So they added on, you no longer an aisle seat. So the Gabayim say, but you have your same seat. We didn't say, but it's not an aisle seat. It's like putting me in a middle seat on a plane. Who wants a middle seat? I have an aisle seat. So something similar here. But they all agreed. It's okay. We got past that issue. And they all agreed together. What we're going to do is build this as a separate shul, a separate heichal. It doesn't say if they kept the original or not. And everyone's like, okay, this will be the new shul. Great. Reuven did it. He donated the land, he paid for the shul, he built the shul, and the end of the day he comes and says, I'm going to write my name on Pesach Eichel, on the outside, then my name, dedicated by Reuven. I donated, I gave it. And a few people in the Tzibur say, no, we don't want you to put your name on the new shul. And the Rashba was asked the question, can people prevent you from writing your name on something that you are dedicating. You're donating it. Can I prevent you? So the Rashba says...
It's after the fact. It doesn't seem like it was discussed.
Very good. Hold that, because we're going to have a more egregious... Years later. I donated it. I want my name on it. Okay, so Reuven put it, but he's putting his name. But it's his. I'm putting my name, and I'm donating. But this is my... I created it. So the Rashba says for four reasons that somebody who donates something to the shul itself, the Beis Knesset, the Heichal, Anara, whatever it is, a part of a shul has a right to put his name on it for four reasons. And I said has a right, maybe it's even a positive thing. Not only a par thing, but maybe it's flesh.
There's reason to protest, then it presumes leadership. You decide who gets this aliyah, you decide who gets that.
Well, but we're just talking...
It's a step toward that, and I've seen that in shul.
That became the owner of the shul.
He's the owner of the shul. It's like I'm dabbling in his shul.
Those are the situations that one person shul. Let's assume here that he's donating. The shul is donating. I'm donating it. Maybe I'll be part of it, but it's not a dictatorship. It's not a dictator. There are shuls that are dictatorships. I pay for everything, and I continue to pay for everything. I'm the board. And I decide who the Leahs are. I'm hiring the rabbi, or I'm the rabbi until we hire the rabbi, right?
So ownership of the
shoes. So that's not the shaila here, but that is an issue. So tough memchas. We have four reasons, three lines down. Why harishon? Four lines down. Tough memchas, right side. Harishon ki amaktish vabone mishalol l'shamayim. Somebody donates something from his own assets. Who can tell him you can't put your name on something that's your own? You're donating it now, but it's your own. You have a right to put your name on it. Number two, jump down
that's
the line. Nasheni.
That's an answer?
It's a property right that you have. Who could tell you what to do with your stuff? It's
because
your thing.
It's his? But yeah. He donated it.
In Akhenami, but it's his. He has a right to write his name.
Let's just say I gave you a jacket, but now I want to write my name on it.
But that's after the fact. He's okay. Now, he finished it, put my name on it, and I'm donating it. We'll get to the question of how about later on. We'll get to that. Hasheni, the Bekama Makomas be Kilas Hakodesh Noam. You know, there are a number of places. It's the minug. Somebody donates something, he writes his name on it. That's number three. That's a societal minug. Vashlishi, the Gabim Komenu who kasu bekosel aheichal shal beis. Even here in our own shul, that's what we do. Is we write on the wall. Who donated what? That's our minhag. It's the general minhag. It's our specific minhag. And number four, which is going to be the most important for us, Haravi, Dizo Midas Chachamim. This is the way of Chachamim. Umidas Vasikin and the way of the Vasikin. Kedei Liten Schar Lasos Mitzvah. We have to give schar. We have to give merit to somebody who does a mitzvah. We have to give him a thank you. Umidas HaTorahu. Shikosebes Umifarsemes Osem Mitzvah. That's the way of the Torah. That we... will disclose and publicize somebody who does a mitzvah. And if the Torah does it, we have to do it also, kal v'chomer. And he brings a beautiful, beautiful medrash rus, and he says as follows, when it came to Reuven comes, he sees Yosef, his dear brother, in the pit with the snakes and scorpions. What does he do? The pasuk says, Vaishma Reuven vayetzileim yadam. Reuven heard what's going on, he saved Yosef. The Medrash says, beautiful, had Reuven known that the mitzvah he was doing was being recorded, he would have not only v'yatzileinu mi'adam, he would have put Yosef on his shoulders and walked him back to his father. Wow. He would have paraded him back. Because you know the mitzvah. Aaron HaKadosh with Moe, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, go down to Mitzrayim, Aaron comes out, and he's going to be happy to see you, don't worry. He would have come out with an 18-piece band had he known that it was written. And the same thing, that's why it's Medrash Rus, same thing with Boaz. Boaz is taking care of Rus. He says, Rus, don't go anywhere else. Stay in my field. We're going to take care of you. I'm telling the Narim who are working for me, don't hassle you, leave her alone. And he come eat with us, and she ate, and he gave her parched grains. Says the Medrash effectively, had he known, he would have given her a five-course meal with duck a l'orange, with pheasant he would have given her.
Isn't it too. Greater if it's not, people don't know about it?
That we'll get into also, but this is not talking about people knowing. This is how the individual would have done the mitzvah, independent of people knowing. I would have done it in a much beautiful fashion. When we're doing a mitzvah, that we have to talk about. In Achinami, we have to talk about that. But when you do a mitzvah, we should do it in the most beautiful way. And the medrash is something unbelievable. L'sha'avar haya oseh, adam oseh mitzvah, The Hanavi Aya Kosva. In the olden days, when people used to do a mitzvah, it was the Navi that would write the mitzvah. Achshav mi Kosva. Now who writes it? We're on the top, on the left side of Taf Menches. Eliyahu Kosva. Eliyahu Hanavi writes every mitzvah that we do. Umelech Mashiach v'Kodesh Baruch Hu Chosim Ayadim. And it's the Mashiach and HaKodesh Baruch Hu that seal that mitzvah was done. This is a big deal if we think about that every time we die. I don't. But if I would think about every time I do a mitzvah, that this is being inscribed, and it's the who's inscribing it, we would do it in a much more beautiful fashion.
Let me ask you something. You think that same applies to Fakir? Every time we do an Aveira, it's being videoed, inscribed, and written by the Aveira Baruch Hu?
I don't know who. It's being videoed and being inscribed. I don't know.
That's a scary thought.
I don't know who, but it could be that the Malach HaMavis is recording
exactly.
It. Okay, so the Gemara in Baba Basra. So the Rashba also brings our Gemara of Yosef ben Yoezer that donated one and his son. We see he says that Chazal record when somebody does a mitzvah. Mikan atalamed. I'm at the end, Taf Menches, second paragraph, towards the end. Mikan atalamed. We see that when somebody gave a donation to the base of Mikdash, they would record it. For what reasons? So people could be remembered for the mitzvahs they do, number one. In order to inspire others to do mitzvahs. So we have a dual. So far we have two reasons. Number one, it's the right thing to do. Mefarsim, somebody does a mitzvah. We should publicize somebody does a mitzvah. And number two, to inspire others to do the mitzvahs as well. Now, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch paskins like this Rashba. We have to remember, the Rashba is the one who says, when somebody does a mitzvah, we are mefarsim it. We publicize it, that's the right thing to do. So in other words, going back to the question of this Reuven, who is writing his name on the shul, he has the, not only does he have the right to do it, but it's a positive thing for his name to be written on the shul to remember for generations to come who did this mitzvah of donating the shul. Now the Ramah says as follows. We're on Taf Mem Ches, this is such a Taf Mem Ches, left side, middle of the page where it says Ayin B'Ramah. This is a very critical Ramah, and initially it's going to be difficult to understand. V'ayin B'Ramah B'Hilchas Tzedakah Shepasa K'Divir HaRashba. He passes like this Rashba that says it's a positive thing to put somebody's name when they donate something, put the name on it. V'zeh Lashona. Lo yispa er ha'adam b'tzedaka shenos. And when you give tzedakah, don't be mispar. What does mispar mean? Don't
flamboyant.
Convoyant or flamboyant?
Flamboyant.
Flamboyant. Don't flaunt it. Don't be flamboyant. Don't show it off. Somebody who gives tzedakah, be tzanu about it.
That means you should have put your name on it, but that doesn't.
We have to see.
Right.
We have to see what
could
this means.
The shul puts it on.
The shul, that's not flaunting. The imispar, and if you flaunt it, that you gave tzedakah. Lo dai sheino mekabel schar. Not only aren't you mekabel schar for giving that tzedakah, ela filu ma'anishin also alav, but you're punished for giving that tzedakah. Something to keep in mind. Some people give tzedakah just so it's publicized. Not only is it not a credit, it's a demerit. It's a demerit for doing that when somebody flaunts it. Umikol makom. Mi shemakti shtavar letzedakah. Nonetheless, somebody who donates an item to tzedakah. Mutar lo sheyichtav shemo alav. Shielo lezikar. And it is permitted for him to write his name on it, so it should be remembered. V'roi lasoschein. And that is a positive thing to do. So this is an interesting Ramah. Initially he says, don't flaunt it when you give tzedakah, but you can write your name on the item, and it's a positive thing to do. What's going on? So if I understand it correctly, this is what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says. When you're giving to people, when you're giving to individuals, when you're giving to anim, don't flaunt it. Don't let them know who's giving it. You shouldn't even know who's receiving it. That's tzedakah. We don't know. The giver, the recipient, that's the highest level. Don't be misbarred. Don't flaunt. But when it comes to giving items, inanimate items, also don't flaunt it. But it is not considered flaunting it simply by writing the name on it, because that's a positive thing.
You're equipped for a hospital to write the name on it.
That's a positive thing. Positive thing. So
I was going to say that, yeah, it's tzedakah, but it's giving, you know, for poor people or something is not, it's not the same as, you know, giving something to a show where you make the show more beautiful or whatever it might be.
Right, right. And you don't have the emotion.
It sure falls under the same
umbrella, you don't have the,
but it doesn't have the same.
You don't have the same issues.
Right,
it's right, right.
You know.
Now,
do you get more scar if you choose not to have the name on the object?
We'll have to talk about it. We'll get into more detail in it, actually. Okay, so the Maisa.
To a poor person, there's a recipient,
And items, there
persons.
Is
officials. No, supposedly to get to a shul.
Right.
There's no one on the other end.
That's going to feel bad about
as
it.
You're feeling, you know,
good,
great.
Nobody's
going
to
feel.
They're telling God that they have to receive it, right. That's what I'm saying.
Now, when it comes, this is just to mention, but it doesn't necessarily have to be at this point in the shir as we're building the sugya. The poskim say that well, we can, because the Ramah says that you can write your name on it. To write your name on it, that's on the item itself. The poskim say lav dafka, to put your name on it. It can be on the wall inside. It doesn't have to be on the item itself, but this will be an important point that we'll get back to in the Yirtzeh Hashem.
It says v'roi lasoschein.
So, and the Roy Lasso Schein is lav dafka on the item itself. It could be on the wall also, on the memorial plaque.
The building campaign with a bunch of names there.
So the Taz says as follows. The Ramah says that you should write your name on it. What's the reason for writing your name on the item? He says it's a nafka mina that if your name is written on the item itself, lo yuchlu atzibur lashanos osodar v'lamide achrisi. Then the tzibur can't come along and change it to a different use. They can't change it to a different use. They need it. That's your item. They can't take it off. They need to leave the plaque on. They can't use it for something else. They can't sell it to somebody else. That's yours. So the Taz is saying that there's actually a technical but important benefit of having your name on. It stays yours. It stays yours. Now, the Nekudas HaKesa says, what do you mean that's the reason for writing your name on it? The Rashba told us the writing. The name is not so you don't change the item for other purposes. He told us it's the right thing to do because we want to publicize Mefarsimim Ose Mitzvah. We want to publicize somebody who does a mitzvah. So he disagrees with the reason of the Taz. Why writing is not that we can't change the use. That's not the reason. The stated reason is based on the Rashba. And the Rashba says it's because we want to publicize doing mitzvahs.
Well, what now, this change of the use? If I donate a chandelier, now they want to take it and move it to another room? Or they
so, Amir said, we're going to get back to this okay. In a little bit. So Tuffman test, the Tshuvas Hanhagos, Rav Sternbach says as follows. Second paragraph in the bottom, it says, V'hosif Sham. This is a short paragraph, but a very important paragraph for us. V'hosif Sham Shizel Lorak the Tovas Acherim Shiyitznu Kamo. The benefit of writing your name on it, on the shul, on the item, whatever it is not only to inspire other people to also donate. El Agam the Tovas Abanim, it's also for the benefit of the children to be inspired that the parents or the grandparents are donating things.
Like
Yosef Ben Yosef, right? They want to do the same thing as their parents. So we have one reason to inspire other people. We have a second reason to inspire the kids. And number three, the musar is also we have to have a karata tov. We have to have, how do you say a karata tov in English?
Appreciation.
He's saying appreciation. Thank you, Steve. He's showing appreciation to somebody. That's the best we're going to do. It's not, but appreciation to somebody.
Debt,
so
debt
we now,
gratitude.
Gratitude. Very good. So we have the English dictionary here, Baruch Hashem, the thesaurus. So we have three reasons for writing on the item. Number one is to inspire others, to inspire our children, and it's hakarat tato of gratitude to the individual who is the donor. And he continues, ulefize nirasha kol taloi im yesh bazeh. If there is a benefit to putting the name on it, slav davka, that it's always the right, it's always a positive thing to put the name on. This is somebody I was asking just before. But rather, look, is there a benefit or not? And the benefit isn't that the donor feels good about himself and wants to publicize that he's giving money. If he's flaunting it, if he's showing it off, if that is the guiding light of the donor that I want to flaunt, that I've given $1 million to this yeshiva, and I want to be posted on yeshivaworldnews.com that I am the donor of the century or whatever it may be, that is not a good reason for publicizing a donation. So then he goes on, how about having dinners? Dinners that this person gave at tzedakah. Dinner that this person in his honor. We're going to honor him.
When you honor the person, you bring in the whole point of doing that is you bring in all the people that, for his name. They donate.
So sometimes somebody gives a big check and we're going to have a new shul. We're going to have a dinner in honor of the guy who donated the shul. Right? To so kakarat tov. The le'inyan aricha seuda v'kavod l'torah, to have a seuda for the donor. Imbam yuzmat ha'mosar mutar. If it's the charity, if it's the shul, it's a school, the recipient that wants to show hakarat hatov, that's one thing. But if it's him, the donor, who says, you know what, now that I'm giving it, make a dinner for me, don't make the dinner. That is obviously the wrong thing to do. The bottom of the page, the Sikkim Dvar, Shibis Manin Onira, Shalom Akabli, Roy Shafar Samor, say, HaMitzvah, Taf, 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 Nun. Nowadays, we should be Mepharshim, Sharabi, Yerubi, Asukamo, because it inspires other people to give. But Ubekai Gavna Ein Shumis, there's no problem with it, but we have to go after the intentions. If the intentions are positive, we should do it. If the intentions are not coming from a good place, it should not be done. Okay, so we want to get into the next question then. Is going back to donors of money certainly have a right to have their name on it. I gave money. This item was used with my donation. I gave the shul. I donated the shul. But how about a gabbai who is having involvement in raising some money? And also maybe he's also involved in doing some of the work, not doing the work, but contracting out some of the work. Finds the kamplan. Maybe he manages some of the work that's being done in the shul. Doesn't do it himself. Does he have a right to have the shul, have his name up as a placard? So the Tshuvas Emunah Shmuel was asked this question. The proverbial Reuven was the gabbai tzedakah. He was the gabbai of the Beis Knesses. And what he did was he hired a poel, a worker, to do the inside of the shul, to the outside. It wasn't a brand new building. It was but to fix up the shul and on the inside and out to write the signage Beis Yisrael on the shul. And here he the worker wrote on the shul, Zos naseh bepekudas Rav Reuven ben Yitzchak gabbai tzedak. All this was by the gabbai Rav Reuven ben Yitzchak. He's the one who had all the work done for the shul. It stayed up for a number of years. That sign by the gabbai tzedakah, it stayed up, and now some people get up and say, you know what, we're done. Whatever, for various reasons, we don't want the sign up anymore. And they, one of their claims was, you didn't give the money. Why should you have your name up? You may have been the gabbai who collected the money. You may have organized some of the work, but it needs to come down. So Reuven responds as follows. Number one, Parshas Vayakel says, Bezalel didn't give the money for the Aron Kodesh, and nonetheless the Pasuk says the Vayas Bezalel. Bezalel is remembered for giving the Aron. So why is it about, I'm no different from Bezalel.
Yeah, but he did the work. This guy didn't do the work.
Number one, I'm no different from Bezalel.
I was always a Bezalel.
There should
be some appreciation.
I was.
Whether that's the proper
right?
Good.
The
question is why the bank was infused with the Chokhmah to do it.
At the annual banquet, you give a special recognition award to the guy.
Right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But does he have a right to have something up on the shul?
He was also mitzvah. You want to be mefarshim the mitzvah.
Number two,
the bigger question
look
is,
at the Rashba, look at the Ramah, mefarshimim the osei a mitzvah. We jabababazize those who do a mitzvah.
But there are various methods of being mefarshim.
Good, good. So he answers as follows. The Emunah Shmuel, we're bottom right. We have to read this inside. V'yishev sham, taf nun, bottom right. Bedavar ma'ashashal, this that you're asking about. Ve'irichu patanosam kevor b'sheila, and you both gave your sides, your claims against each other. Dvarim, top left, ke'elu, ein la'em shoresh v'anaf b'talmud u'poskim, yishonim v'akronim. There's no source for discussing this in the Gemara and the poskim, yishonim v'akronim. Kima dvarim abayim b'shut the Rashba. We have to look at the Rashba. The Rashba is the source. It's interesting. I once saw somebody ask a Rosh Hashiva in an open forum. Any question? Rav Tzvi Rotberg, any question? Answered every single question. Went on for 2-3 hours. Every question. Somebody asked the question just like this. Don't ask. He says, the Rashba. So he says, this is the, right? This is the Rashba. The Rashba, the famous Rashba. So he says, this is the source. The Imkein Anu Omrim Havu Dulala. We can't extend what the Rashba says. What does the Rashba says? It has to be like Bezalel. Right? Jonathan, like you said, has to be like Bezalel. It's different. Bezalel did the work himself.
Right.
Reuven, what did he do? He took Yosef out with his body. Boaz, he gave some of his money. He gave food to Ruth. Aaron went out with his body. If you do the work yourself, if you do it begufa or bemamona, of your money, your body or your money, you have a right to it. But the Rashba doesn't say that somebody who collects some money and just organizes some things, that's not sufficient.
Body, you have to go out and collect.
Yeah, but the work itself. That's the fundraising. But the work itself on the item, that would be a reason to say thank you, have the dinner, thank him in the dinner. But on the item itself, you would have to work on the item itself to write your name on the item. So in the end of the day, he says, even though it was up for many years, you can't have a chazak against the tzibur. Chazak against the tzibur doesn't work. For whatever reason, chazak against the tzibur doesn't work. So the tzibur has an absolute right to say, we appreciate your work. After this many years, we're taking this sign down. There's no chazaka because, as the Pisrei Tshuva paskens like this Tshuva, if you do it begufo or mamono, if you do it with your money or your body, you did the work, like Betzalo, you have a right to have your name on the item. Otherwise, you don't. So let's continue in that. The Maram Shik was asked, somebody donated Menorah Shevisi to a shul. Not sure exactly what this is, but I think it's like a Shvisi as some of the Negdi Tamid,
right.
Like something with a pasuk, and it has a menorah. Like maybe it's a combination of.
They write the Shvisi in the menorah.
There we go. That's what it is. It's a menorah that says Shvisi, and it's an ornamental item for the shul. So there were two problems here. Number one, the guy who donated it, and people said no. Number one, there were concerns, there were rumors that he wasn't even Shomer Shabbos. We don't want to take a donation for somebody who's not Shomer Shabbos. Shvisi Hashem LaNegdi Tamid, and you're not Shomer Shabbos? Number one. Number two, you wrote your name on it. Who gives you a right to write the name on something? So the person who was asking the question says, I have a right, you should take it from me. And I have a right. Look at the Rashba, look at the Ramah. Apostles like the Rashba that says when somebody donates something, you can put your... very good. Here we go. Show and tell. Shivisi, I said this is a Shvisi menorah. Menorah Shvisi.
Every Sparty shul will have it.
Yeah.
When's the last time I was in a Sparty shul? But if you have those on the baseball cards. So the psak of the Maram Shik was as follows. Number one, issue number one, can we take the item from somebody who's non-observant? He says there's a Gemara in Chulin that says that we take korbanos from the posa Yisrael. We take korbanos from the Beis HaMikdash for the sinners of Yisrael. Why? Shal yedeshim mekavimam korbanos mitzorin tshuva. It inspires them to do tshuva. If we can take a korban from them, kal v'chomer, we can take an ornamental item for a shul from them. So he says, absolutely we can take from them. And if you don't take it, you're turning them off, even worse.
If you want to inspire the children, maybe that will inspire
them. So also, very good. You're turning people away. We do tshuva. A terrible thing. And number two, he says, can you write your name on that? Look at the Rashba. The Rashba says, when somebody donates something, you put their name on it. But then he brings a tshuva of the Tzemach Tzedek.
But you also show him that Machal Shabbos can gain a measure of acceptance.
This is an important topic, absolutely. Goyim and Mechalel Shabbos. So we would have to have a whole shit. There's a little bit at the end here, but I'm going to skirt the issue. But it's very important. What are they donating? Where is their name going on it? So there are definite. Don't deduce that you can take anything at any time from Mechalel Shabbos. That wouldn't be the case. Okay. So then he brings the Tzemach Tzedek, who says he was asked about a special ornamental menorah and an Aron Kodesh. And people said there, we don't want to take it. We don't want you to put, we want to participate also. So the Tzemach Tzedek says that not everyone has a right to put their name on what they donate for shul. You have two categories of items. Items that only one person can, by definition, put his name on, and no one else would then be able to do it. You can't exclude anyone else who wants to participate also. However, items that, like Sidurim or Chomashim, so you put your name on yours, so others people can donate more, then anyone is allowed to put their name on it. So based on that, he says, the special menorah in the Aron Kodesh, if other people want to participate, you're not allowed to put your name on it, because otherwise you're boxing everyone out from there. So the Maram Shik says that does not apply to this Shivisi. In other words, the category, says the Maram Shik, isn't it exclusive? The Tzemach Tzedek was talking specifically about this menorah and the Aron Kodesh that has a special skula to it. Anyone who donates that, it's like Master Yonah, whatever, if that's the case. If there's a special skula to it, then you can't exclude everyone else because there can only be one for the shul. But other items, like having the Shvisi menorah, There's no special school about it. So only there's only one in the shul. But if you don't give that, you can give a parochas. And if you don't give that, give the yamun. You don't give that, give the bima. So even the Tzemach Tzedek, who said if something is unique, he's only talking about an item that only one person gave that has a special school attached. You can't exclude other people. They can also donate it also. But otherwise, anyone can put their names on the items in the shul. So to go back to the question of the Shvisi, the Maram Sheikh says that even though the person is non-observant, we should take it, and he's permitted to put his name on the Shvisi menorah. Okay, so the next question then is, if the person only decided years later that he wants to put his name on the item that is donating. So based on the Rashba, what was the main reason of the Rashba? Why did we put people's names on? What farsem? What does it matter when he decides to put his name on it? Whether it's now or in 10 years, if the concept is mefarsem osim mitzvah, publicize those did a mitzvah, even if he decides after the fact, we should also be mefarsem osim mitzvah. We should remember. So the Chedvas Yaakov was asked the following question. There was a certain shul that somebody donated the migrash, donated the
lot.
Thank you so much. Donated the lot that it was on, and he was involved in building it, and he put his name on it. Oz Natan, name Natan. He put Oz, the strength of Natan. He put his name on it, and it went to a Beis Din, and the Beis Din said, because you did not agree up front with the shul, you're not allowed to put your name on it. That's what the Beis Din. So here, the Chedvas Yaakov was asked this question, and he says, I disagree with that. There are really two issues going on. Issue number one is, does he have a right to put it up? And issue number two is, where should it be placed? When it comes to the first issue, if you look at the Rashba, based on the Mefarsem Osei Mitzvah, he should have a right to put it up regardless whether he agreed up front or not. It doesn't matter. He's donating it. He donated the lot. He donated part of the building or all the building, whatever it is. He can pass the right to have his name publicized that he gave this donation. However, he cannot unilaterally put it up on the shul itself. He has a right to have his name remembered in a proper fashion that the parties will mutually agree to, but that doesn't mean the fact that he donated it without agreeing up front, he cannot put his name on the entire shul. So that's where the Chedvas Yaakov comes. They should agree where it should be placed. And if the shul is saying, not the whole thing, it can't be the whole thing, it should be put up, but it doesn't have to be everywhere.
In theory, the lot, you know, real estate is location, location, location. The lot may be worth much more than the building. So the lot, someone donated a $5 million lot. Another guy built or paid for a $2 million building. So the guy who built the building has this big plaque up. The guy who does the lot.
Yeah.
Where does that go? How is that
connected? We'll talk a little bit about that stuff when we talk about... But here, the Maizesh, Bano Ibeisa Kinesh, so he gave them a grash. That the shul was built on, v'tarach harbe lakamasa, and he worked hard at things. So he didn't pay for everything. Mm-hmm. He paid for the migrash. He was very involved in the building, but he didn't pay for everything. Okay, so what?
That's
why
Chabad moved Rabbi Washington to the other side of town.
Because
the lot was worth so much.
Ah, okay. So the next topic that I want to get to now is when somebody is donated. And we said that somebody who donates the goof of a mamono, he did the work himself, he donates it, it's financially, he has a right to have his name up on it. If the shul eventually wants to redo the place, this was a shaila, Hancock Park, Young Israel of Hancock Park, it was a shaila, I believe it was many years ago, they did it a few decades ago, and then more recently, they had the same shaila. I don't know what the issues were the past time, but when Rabbi Grumman, Rav Fuss's father-in-law, Rav Fuss Grumman, has the question in the Igros Moshe, has the question to Igros Moshe of what should we do. It was in Los Angeles. I'm pretty sure it was the Young Israel of Hancock Park. What should we do when we had a shul, people donated in their tummy, people donated other items, and now we're going to expend more funds, and the original donors, they may not want to pay again. So we get new donors. What do we do with the old names? People paid for the original. Do we just discard them all and they have no rights because we're redoing the shul, or do we have to put their name on also? So we're on Taf Nun Gimel, top left. Tafnun Gemel, top left. So we're going to go through the Shulchan Aruch first. This is a fairly detailed intricate Shulchan Aruch. So it's a lot of detail. So hopefully we won't get too bogged down. The Shulchan Aruch Nifsak, Tafnun Gimel top left in Yeridea. The Shulchan Aruch Nifsak Yisrael, she's Nadev Ner. O menorah the Beis HaKnesses. If a Jew donated a candle, candlestick, candelabrum, a menorah, whatever it may be, to a Beis HaKnesses, im nishtakeh shem ba'aleha me'aleha, if the name of the Baal who donated has been forgotten, Shein Anikras al Shemo, the people do not any longer associate that item or that shul with the donor. They've forgotten. Over time, originally people know, okay, this was donated by this person. This the Aron Kodesh was this family, the Schiller family, the Miller family, whatever it is. Yecholim atzibor lishnosa afilu ledavar harshus. They can change it. They don't have to use it for a mitzvah anymore. It was donated at the time. It's been forgotten. We don't have any longer an obligation to him. Rama afilu ingama minad lemoch. Even if the donor, I remember that was my Aron Kodesh, or that was my Ner Tamid. I remember. Like, that's okay. We're moving it out. We need more light in the hallway. We're moving your Netam it out. Even if he remembers, but no one else remembered, it was no longer associated with him. Drop down a line. V'im, after the parenthetical. V'im lo nishtake Hashem ba'alei ha'melech. People haven't forgotten. People still remember that was donated by X. Ein yecholim lishnosa ledvar ashus. They can't go put it in the hallway. Aval ledvar mitzvah yecholim lishnosa. But they can use it for dvar mitzvah. We're going to put it in the smaller shul. It's an Eretam. It's still put in the shul, smaller shul. Jump down three lines. V'higiyah sham haramah. The Rama adds on, kol zman sheshem ba'aleha chakuk al hakelim shenasan. As long as the name of the donor is still engraved, it's still written on the item itself, lo nishta'akeh hashem ba'aleha. The name of the Baal has not been forget.
Physically written.
As long as it is. Now, the poskim at Kipsuto, it's either physically written or a placard on it, right? But his name is on the item itself.
A lot of, like a hanging light fixture, a little...
And a plaque hanging on.
It's hardy.
And it's one of the postkin was asked, you have to replace it, it falls out. He says, you have to replace it. So he divides up. If the donor insisted, you certainly have to. If it was the shul that put up the plaque, maybe you don't have to. But regardless, so if you have the name on it, you have a plaque on it, it is still associated with that person. They are not allowed to change it to davar arshus. They have to use it for davar mitzvah still. Okay, so in that context, in view of that, the Rav Moshe Feinstein, the question of that shul was there was a ner tamid and various other things. The hutna lichtov shema kona la davar shkana. When the people donated it, the condition with the shul was that they would write the donor's names on those items. And now that they have fixed the shul, they're refurbishing the shul, they have two questions. Number one, rotim libkor lacherim. They want to sell the rights to other people without the reshus of the first people. You want to go to Mr. X and get his permission. He's never going to say yes that I can take his name down and sell the Ner Tamid. He's expecting that it's, even though he's not paying for it, he's going to want his name on it because he said, I donated. The fact that you're redoing the shul doesn't mean that I should lose out and I shouldn't have my name on the Ner Tamid. So the question number one is,
give back the Ner Tamid.
Very good. Give it back. So, but it was my right. Number two is that the shul didn't want the plaques all over the place. They said, we don't want a plaque here. I remember seeing Benji Levine, the Four Faces of Israel from the Gesher Center. Mm-hmm. So Benji Levine, one of the Four Faces of Israel was the rich American.
Right.
And the rich American who donated the F-16 to the Israeli army. And the problem with the F-16 was it was so full of plaques donated by this American, donated the wing, that the plane was too heavy to fly. So that was one of the Four Faces of Israel, was the American. So here they decided we want to take all the plaques and not put it on the items, because you walk into the shul and this is donated by this and this donated by this and this, all over the place have these donation plaques. Put it all on a board in the hallway. This one donated this and this one. Why do we have to have it all over the shul? So Rav Moshe says this second change, because originally, before they refurbished the shul, it had all the plaques all over the place and they want to change it. He says, I don't have a problem with that. And even though the Rama says, as long as the name is written on the item, they can't change it, it's lav dafka written on the item. As long as it's associated, meaning whether it's on the item or on the board, outside, that is the same. As long as you have the pirsum, you have it publicized, that it doesn't matter if on the item or separate from the item, As long as that is the case, we would still have the protection for the donor that they can't change it. He says, I don't have a problem with that. Aval, we're in Taf Nun Dalet. Bottom right. Aval Shinoi HaRishon. Taf Nun Dalet, bottom right. Aval Shinoi HaRishon Shulim Kor Zchusam Shekvar Kanu La'acheiru. But now that they already had people 30 years ago, 20 years ago, whenever it was, donate these items, and they want to sell these rights off to other people now because they refurbed the shul, EF Sharbalo Rishusam, the language here is very important. You need permission from the original donors. The Af Bistoma, even if it wasn't a condition when they originally donated that this would go forever, eternal, even though they didn't say, I am buying this forever, I'm donating it. The assumption is that's my item. The Af Bistama Hulaolam calls Mancha Besa Genesis Kayam, as long as that shul is standing.
Which means when you renovate, in theory.
So, I don't know. I don't know. Meaning, renovation is the shul is still standing. What happens if you take the whole shul down?
Right,
and you build in
this
place? If you
donated the building, and they renovated the building is still standing.
Yeah, yeah, for
but
sure.
But if you donated the Aron and they redid the Aron and made a new Aron, it's not still...
No, the Kol Zman Shabbos Knesset, that's still the same shul. That's still the same shul. The Kol Shekein Befir Shul Olam, and certainly here, that the condition was that it is eternal, Le'olam, you can't change it on them. Certainly, the first donors can't prevent you from redoing the shul. They can't say, we're preventing you. They can't say, you're not going to redo it. We have to inform the original donors, and we have to give them the ability to redonate the items. And if they say no, he says, small items, they'll just redonate probably. And they're telling me, we'll redonate, we'll give $300, whatever it is. Items they say no, he says you have to put the names of both the new donor and the old donor on the name. Now the size is, lichora, the new donor goes first and is bigger than the small donor. Lichora. But he says you would have to put both. If the original donor doesn't want to re-up for the item again, we have to mefarsem that they did the mitzvah, but we would be able to have the first and... What was that?
He's not alive, you have to go to the Yorkshire.
Lichora. Okay, so the next question. This is discussed by other posts, and I just want to go through one other shuva on this issue of if somebody donates a base medrash, and then the shul, and here it's not that they wanted it, and they're yisurim with taking down a shul and rebuilding if you don't have another place to daven. So the post can talk about that. We're not talking about there. This was asked to the Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner, from a Satmar institution in Yerushalayim. And what they wanted to do is they had an original building. Somebody donated the base medrash. And now they're building a new complex. And that old building, they hadn't decided what's going to be. It will either be knocked down, sold, build apartments there and rent them out, but it's going away. It's going away. And the question that was posed to the Shevet Alevi is, how about the new shul, that the person who donated the old shul, we're talking about the whole shul in itself, had plaques up, and the deal with him was that the contract, they had a written contract that it was forever. His name was up forever. Is that only on the old building itself? But once he donated, they're building a new building, that we would have to put his name up in the new building as well. And the condition was, it is forever. So in the tshuva he says that we look in Shulchan Aruch, that if somebody has the name on the item itself, he has the name, up on, the name on the shul itself, that it's lo nishtakeshmo, his name is not removed, it can't be changed, he has a right to it. So, lichora, maybe even the new shul, he has his right, and they made a condition, it would be la'olam, forever. So he says, even though it's written that he has the schus on it, and even if that's said on the item itself that he has the schus forever, obviously, that is only the case when that building is extant. But if that building is taken down, if that building is sold, that right, the olam. Now this is an interesting thing. When you hear about this, it would be the parallel. This item is guaranteed for life. Guaranteed for life. The life of what? My life or the life of the item, right?
If so, it's the life of the item, then it's
like the item. There's no guarantee. But that it does, oftentimes it doesn't mean a guarantee for life is not necessarily the book. You have to look at the details. So here he's saying guaranteed for life doesn't mean the life of forever. The olam doesn't mean forever. It means the life of the building. The olam on this building, if the building goes away, that's it.
That's,
he says you have to look at, you have to look at the a neder. When somebody makes a neder, when they make an oath, you have to look at the intent. That's the major yisod in nedarim. The major intent of the person donating is on this building, but if the building goes away, certainly his intent wasn't. And the intent of the recipient of the tzedakah is certainly once the building goes away, then his rights go away. However, let me just finish because it may answer the question. However, min hadin v'hayosher, there's still the min hadin, he says, and the right thing to do, lahavir haskaras chuso mibinyan yashan abinan achadish. The right thing to do, he says, miikar hadin also is to still put up his name on the new building in a way that would not disturb a donor who would be donating the new complex. So we should not, obviously we need to get the real donor in, but we cannot disregard, and we need hakarat tov for the person who started us off. This is the person who gave the original building. If we didn't have that building, we wouldn't have gone to this building. We wouldn't have gone there. So he says the right thing to do, and the yosher thing to do, is to still have up a dedication to the person who gave the original building. And he goes even a step further. Even if there wasn't a tanai from the donor that it would be la'olam, even if he didn't make it a condition it would be a father, it's still the right thing to do to have his name up on the wall. So lemaisa, when it comes out to making changes, somebody be dedicated an item, it's a fairly complex question because it gets down to a number of variables. It gets down to, is his name on the item or not? Was there a contract? Was there a deal? What was the deal? What was the intent of the parties in doing the deal? What type of item is it? What are the changes that are being made to the base of Medrash? What are the changes to the base of Medrash? Is it just a little bit of a refurb? Is the whole building coming down? There are a lot of different components that go into getting into the question of putting up somebody's name. Now that's assuming the person wants. All assuming the person wants his name up, and you make change. What rights does he have to continue having a name? But the lemaisa, looking through, I didn't look through a lot of tshuvas, but the ones that I saw, it comes down to even if you have a right to take down the original person's name, the right thing to do is still to remember that the person started us off. He gave the original Nel Tamid. Now Baruch Hashem, we're able to go up Ma'alim Bekodesh Ve'Marina. We should still remember the person. And that fits in beautifully with the Rashba. Why? It's the whole reason, the primary reason is we're Mefar Sanim Oseh Mitzvah. That's what it comes down to. As long as it's for the right purpose, we should be Mefarsem Oseh Mitzvah. Okay. Quick word on Parsha from the Lekach Tov. I saw this many years ago, and it really inspired me. So the Lekach Tov on this week's Parsha, it says, Sheshes Yamim, what does it say? Sheshes Yamim? Tei Asim Alacha. Not Tasim Alacha. It says Tei Asim Alacha. It should be done. It's nifaj. It is done to you, te'asim alacha. And then it says, and then Yom HaShvi'i will be kodesh to you. So he asks two very good questions. He says, if we're just talking about Shabbos, why do you have to say, question number one is, why does it say te'asa, not ta'asa? 6 days you should do work. Ta'asa. That's the word. You do work. Why do, and other, so elsewhere it does. So why does it say te'asa? Why does it say te'asa? It should be done for you, the work. Because it's talking about kola, right? No, so strike that from the record. Okay, so, and question number two is, if we're talking about Shabbos, why do we have to say 6 days work? What is it relevant? If we're just focusing on Shabbos and learning the halachas Shabbos from Mishkan, then we don't have to talk about Sheshes Yamim at all. So he brings down in Rav Shlomo Gansfried as follows, so he says in this, a remez, lekach sherak misha ma'amin b'muna shalema, only somebody who has tremendous emuna, that his parnasa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the 6 days, can really have a Shabbos off, a real Shabbos. In other words, somebody who has emuna, that 6 days I work will be able to go into Shabbos knowing that the fact that I'm not working on Shabbos is not taking away my parnasa. But somebody who doesn't have that emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supplying for us our parnasa, somebody that he's going to be constantly thinking on Shabbos, oh, if I were only working, I could be earning more parnasa, that's a person who is not going to be able to have a special Shabbos. And that's why it has to teach us. Sheishas Yamin Te'asa. You have to view the 6 days, although we have to work, we have to put in our effort, but our view is that when we work, that parnasa is given to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is done for us. Te'ase melacha. It's done. It's not that if I work more, I'll be able to make a parnasa. Parnasa is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I earn for 6 days, not on the seventh day. Somebody who has that perspective, that it's te'ase, that it's being done, and we're being granted this parnasa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a person who will be able to come in and have a wonderful Shabbos. So he says, very interesting, he says that there's a remiss to this. I don't know if this is true or not, but it's a nice thing to say. He says that there's a remiss here why we have fish on Shabbos. What's the remiss why we have fish on Shabbos? Because somebody who opens up a fish, we see that this big fish has little fish that it ate inside of it. So we would think this fish is making its hishtadlus and is running after little fish. And if it were eating the little fish that it's going after, how should they be lined up? It should be head to head and tail to tail, because the little fish is running away from it. And it's eating the little fish. And oftentimes he says, when you open up a big fish and you see inside, the little fish is the head to the tail. In other words, we see from this that he was making his efforts to swallow these little fish, but he's getting other little fish. Because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided. He's going to get these other little fish. So despite his ishtadlus, he's making his parnasa, he's earning it. And that's the remez that we have on Shabbos, to have fish, that we make ishtadlus, but ultimately it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides the fish that big fish is going to swallow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides on our parnasa. So my takeaway when I read this the first time or the second time was our perspective when we come into Shabbos, it should be that Sheishas Yamin Ta'asim Malacha, I have to put aside those 6 days so I can focus on Shabbos. Oftentimes, I know it's a little bit different in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz Laretz, when you're working 6 days and you work up till Shabbos and you come into Shabbos and job is on your mind, you are stressed Friday night. You are stressed because the job is on your mind, because you ran from here. If you have off on Friday, we have an ability to detox a little bit, and we don't have the work on our minds. But in Chutz Laretz, when you work all the way up to Shabbos, I remember being stressed till Shabbos morning. Till Shabbos, an intense week, and you can't just run into the shower, run to Shul. Baruch Hashem, Shabbos doesn't work that way. But if we have the perspective of Sheishas Yamin Te'aseh, forget about it. It's done. Next week will be another 6 days, but now it's Shabbos. But I was speaking with an Israeli once, and I said, you know, it's so good here because you have Friday off, so you don't have stress coming into Shabbos. And he says to me, do you know how stressed I get Saturday afternoon thinking about Sunday? So I didn't think about that. I did not think about that.
At least it's not going into Shabbos.
But if we have the right perspective of Te'asa, I'll tell you what helped me a lot was when I used to, right before Shabbos, make a list of what I had to handle the next week. Once I put it on a piece of paper, I forgot about it, because I didn't have to think about it at all. Once I put it on a list, I had menucha going into Shabbos. Fine, Motzei Shabbos, I'll start attacking the list, but I knew it was quantified. So that was a nice word of te'asim alacha. All right, have a good Shabbos.